is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. It is every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. Here at WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. What's happening lately? You know what I always do for the first couple of minutes of the program is talk about something that's happened in the last week or so. But I have a continuing, not a saga, but a situation that I think it's a learning experience and the listeners can learn from it about this one particular job. Actually, two particular jobs now. One's now turned into an electrical issue, which we want to prevent fires. And yes, I make a living off of cleaning up after fires, but I definitely don't want anybody to have a fire. It's just not the way I want to go about my business. I'd rather clean some water up instead of a tragedy like people's homes being on fire. But the first part of it was the person that I'm dealing with in this particular flood situation, an elderly person. And that, again, I talked about it last week about, you know, having a protocol or having a plan for mom and dad who are a little older. I mean, I'm in my late 40s and my parents are, you know, in their 70s and early 80s. You know, and most parents are, you know, they have the old way of doing things. And the old way of things, you know, because they come from that generation and that era of taking care of themselves and not asking for any help. But nowadays, it's a lot different. So I think addressing that... I think I'm a little too high here with this volume here. But anyway, addressing and helping out the elder, whether it's a neighbor, but primarily your parents and even your grandparents. Some of us in society have been raised by grandparents, so they've done their due diligence in helping you get through and navigate life. So assisting them with a plan, because again, they're not thinking about, they're thinking about getting up in the morning. They're all people about routines. They put their watch on the same arm or the wrist, or they shave the same way, or you know, they do the same things in the morning before they go to work, or if they're retired, they do the same things in and out. But that's not necessarily meaning it's the right way, or they should be aware of certain things. And we're going to talk about that at length later on the program with Lieutenant Steve Lindner from the Hackensack Fire Department. He's a continual advisor to the program, a bevy of information, and we'll get to Steve after our first break. Andy from ACP, everybody knows about Andy, the Long Island president of ACP, put some information out there about partnering to prevent tragedy. It's a FDNY symposium with Mount Sinai. It's going to be held in the city. The website, it's all the information's up on my website, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. And check that out. There's a lot of keynote speakers and some heavy hitters from the departments of both sides, the medical field and the first responder, the fire department. So take a look at that. You can get some information. It's key, because you know what? Some of the things that we do, some of these whack job terrorists, and it's not a political show, so bear with me on this. It's about tragedy and disasters. Is they you know, they are primarily looking to affect hospitals and such after their first. It's like a secondary incident. They I don't know that they classify it. Homeland Security classified it. I'm not a government GI guy, so I don't know exactly the term they use, but. The hospitals and first responders are targets now after the incident. So that's what they'll be talking about in the city, and I'm sure that will kind of mushroom out to the outer parts of the boroughs and then here in Jersey and such like that. with that, also I want to talk about the anxiety. I got some information from a past guest. He's a psychiatrist, and talk about the anxiety of people that they go through. They have anxiety about the disasters, and one of the things was about children. Again, this first, I just want to recap because I got a lot of stuff I want to cover in the second and third and fourth part of the show about children. Because when it rains now, my son, who's 9 years old, he's like, "Oh, we're gonna flood again," because we've had two floods within the past year and change, and we've had a, you know, do sheetrock replacement and carpeting and that kind of stuff. Again, those are things that you can replace. It's materials. It's no big deal. It's not life. And life is very important. And so replacing things are no big deal. But he has that bit of anxiety. He's like, "Oh, God, it's going to rain again. We're gonna flood out in the basement," yada, yada, yada. Me being in the line of business that I'm in, you'd say, "How, you know, Chris, what are you doing? Your place is, you're flooding out your own house." But you know what? Even with my generator, the amount of water that came in with Irene was ridiculous. They just couldn't keep up, and I'm not going to spend another $20,000 or $30,000 putting in more sump pumps and digging deeper. And it's just, you know, you got to go with the statistics of Irene's not going to come around every year. But they are frequent. They're more frequent. The storms are heavier. So the anxiety of children. I think explaining, you know, the do's and don'ts of when a disaster is rolling into town, whether it's a hurricane or a lightning storm, and staying away from windows and things like that. Those are the preventative things that can give a kid more control, having a plan in place, having a child, because a child doesn't feel in control rather quickly out of a scenario like that. So talking with them, you know, doing the ABCs, it's even good for yourself. You know, we should all have exit routes. We should all have meeting places. Again, these are the things we constantly talk about on this program, but, you know, that's what we do. We want to pound it in, and like the LT here in the room today will tell, you know, if we can save one person or get that information to that one person who can do something with it, then, you know, that's all the better. And so let's go to a quick break. Dave, hit me up with a break, and we'll be right back.
Part of today's program, or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
The American Legion. We're a powerful force for the nation. We're the largest organization of wartime veterans in the nation. We've served America in uniform, and we continue to serve through our membership in the American Legion. We're patriots through and through. We believe in our flag and what it stands for. Our Constitution, our Pledge of Allegiance, our way of life are all fundamental to maintaining our freedom and the standing we have as the greatest country on earth. We promote and defend these values every day in communities across the nation. We're at the forefront to protect our flag from acts of desecration. We have many programs that teach our youth about the rights and responsibilities of citizenship and what a gift it is to be an American. And you can find us marching down main streets in small towns and big cities all across America, showing our support and pride for our veterans and their families. Go to Legion.org to find out more about the American Legion's commitment of service to America.
That's Bill giving me the finger. So we're back on the air, Disaster Recovery Hour. Like I said, I'm Chris Plunkett, your host, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ 1160. One more update I wanted to do. about a month and change ago, we had an article, and I had a retired lieutenant from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, Frank Salento, and he was in the child abduction line of the business at the prosecutor's office, as well as many other things with narcotics and so on and so forth. But he came on, and we talked about the excuse me, I won't do that again, right? We talked about some of the things, how we can do for prevention of child issues and incidents and so on and so forth. So there was a follow-up. I'm getting somebody to laugh in the studio here. The lieutenant's laughing at me. There was a follow-up article in the Bergen County Record here in the Jersey area, northmedia.com, if you wanted to go on the website and check it out. And there was a follow-up on the UNCART, Child Abduction Response Teams. And it was a great multi-agency drill and went off quite well. A good friend of mine was involved in it. They told me that there was some good positive feedback, and also the drill went according to plan. So that's very important. And by the way, just because it's in Bergen County doesn't mean other counties. They do the other counties, 21 counties here out on the island, with all the numerous counties out there, Rockland, Westchester. The 90% of it is all the same, and so it's all regulated by DHS, and so. I wanted to give kudos to the guys and do that follow-up about how it went quite well. With today's guest, let's move forward. We have Lieutenant Steve Linder from the Hackensack Fire Department. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
As you know, Steve from the past is a past guest and also an advisor to the program. Steve is a 20-plus veteran. He's back on the truck as of, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I got reassigned back on the line. Engine 1, downtown Hackensack.
Steve, I lean on Steve for that inside intel regarding the do's and don'ts and how we can prevent further tragedies after disaster happens. we spoke a little bit after Irene, but we also had the snowfall, the early snowfall, and which was a completely different issue. But let's back up to Irene, and you and I were talking about, you're 53, I'm 46, I'm going to be 47. We've never seen a hurricane like this, and from a perspective on the first responder side, give us some of the countywide info and what you guys experienced, and because you were saying I've never seen this before, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, in terms of Irene, that was a perfect storm between the high water table that we already were experiencing. August was the rainiest month ever,
right?
And you had a hurricane and you had high tide. You know, here in Hackensack, we had high tide on the Hackensack River, and all that combined at the same time just led to flooding that. Haven't seen since, I would say, Floyd in 99.
If you don't know the, I guess, typography, right? The landscape of the whole area, it's a perfect scenario. You're talking about, you have really a perfect classroom to teach for fire departments, because you have the small enclaves of housing area. You have public housing. You have what do you call them? Tax payables. You have
taxpayers. Yeah.
Taxpayers. You have the stores on below, and you have the apartments above. Then you're surrounded by a river. So there's a you know, like you said, a perfect storm. There's a lot of things that you guys experience on any different part of the city, different types of calls. And you have an airport right not too far on the other side of South Hackensack that I'm sure you assist with.
Yeah, flight pattern for Teterboro goes right over Hackensack, and we have been called out for plane crashes in Teterboro. But Bergen County's makeup is about 70 municipalities, and there's close to a million people. You know, here we are just outside of New York City, so it's one of the more densely populated places in the country. Our particular small city of Hackensack, we have a little bit of everything. We have some high-rise apartment buildings, we have some industry, we have malls, we have major highways, we get the courthouse, we get the jail, and in addition to being a bedroom community in New York City, we got the trains. And so we've got a little bit of everything here in the city of Hackensack. So far as I wanted to talk to you about, you know, I know we went over Irene, but I think more recent that we should really talk about is this freak snowstorm that we had at the end of October. As a lifelong Bergen County resident, this was the most severe storm that I've ever seen. It was the devastation, particularly in the northwest part of Bergen County, between the trees being knocked down, knocking power lines down. There was just a host of issues. There was a fatality in Franklin Lakes because the power line got knocked off the building, started a home fire, and a handicapped elderly man was killed in a fire there. So The devastation was just amazing, you know, after it was done. But then there was the post issues that came into play also, one of which was out in western New Jersey, an elderly couple without power. They decided to use their generator. Unfortunately, the generator wasn't properly vented. Carbon monoxide built up in their home, and they perished. So sometimes, you know, when you have some sort of like a bad situation, it kind of spills into something more, you know,
right,
because of what you're forced to do without any electricity, or, you know, trees flying. People are out worrying about their house. They're going outside. You got to worry about, you know, trees flying or getting hit in the head with something like that. So it's almost like you want to be careful as to, you know, when the storm is going on, making sure that keep away from the windows. If you have blinds or drapes, keep them closed in case any flying debris that goes on while this particular storm with the tree damage were just monumental. So a lot of stuff that you really want to, you know, not get yourself making a bad situation worse by possibly going out in the height of a storm for any particular reason, whether to inspect damage to your home or to just, you know, thinking that you need to get, you know, supplies at the store. Wait until the storm passes, you know, and then, you know, everybody can assess the emergency. Unless there's a dire emergency,
right,
you really don't want to be out. And you want to take some, you know, just precautions at home. Again, making sure that you're before storm, you know, making sure that there's any, you know, tree branches that should be cut. You know, everybody can look at stuff and say, oh, you know, that branch looks a little bit too close to the house. You know, taking some precautionary things before these type of storms happen. Because if you do have a branch that was, sure, should have been cut down prior to this storm, next thing you know, you don't have to worry about cutting down because it's coming crashing through your house or your window.
Yeah, right. No, the collateral damage was huge. and, you know, they talk about tree trimming on the public side. You know, everyone's got it on the private side. And, you know, we've done shows about, you know, house maintenance exterior-wise and how you could prevent certain incidents from happening. And trees are huge. And I think I was telling you before the show, and unfortunately with my buddies from Service Master out there on Long Island, we had a kid a long time ago, about 6 or 7 years ago, he got hit by a tree, you know, during one of these storms because we were at the – we were trying to – help somebody out with this flooding in their house. They had a tree and so on and so forth. But, you know, you're right. You should stand down. You shouldn't, and you even said it, guy, you know, if it's getting hazardous, you guys aren't even going to get off the truck.
It's certainly a hazard for, you know, law enforcement and the fire department and the EMS. You know, we still have to go out to respond to our emergencies. But in these type of situations, we're putting ourselves in harm's way that much more so. I know in Hackensack, when we're going on a fire call, we're all full turnout gear with your helmet on going on these, you know, on these calls just in case something is blowing around. So you want to show great care, you know, even for the emergency responders. I also want to mention, too, Chris, is, you know, obviously the 911 there is for everyone in case there is an emergency at their home. But just to let everybody know, in these times of emergencies and this type of storms that come on, all your police, your fire, your EMS is running much more so than a normal day. So if, you know, unless you have a real life emergency, you might want to, you know, hold back on making a call or an inquiry about something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to look and see, you know, the whole neighborhood's out without power. You don't need to jam the 911 calls, you know, hey, when are we getting our power back? You know, because, you know, for the most part, you know, all our utility companies, you know, they're doing the best to really put this back into service afterwards. You know, same with the fire departments and the police departments. We're trying to put order back after something like this. And that may, you know, involve street closures or, you know, we may have to remove people from their home if mm-hmm. there is some sort of dangerous situation. So,
and, you know, that's, and, you know, the driving force for the program, as you know, I did it again, I cleared my throat, got a little bug going today, is to be self-sustained for 3 to 5 days, you know, provisions, and also to do the maintenance of your yard or your home. It goes with electric also. Now that we're rolling into the holidays, we'll touch that in a little bit. But you know, get to, you know, I'm trying to pound into the people that listen to the program is, you know, don't expect the first responders to be there. You know, and that includes like even insurance adjusters with the floods. You know, these guys are coming from all around the country to come in, and these guys are working 24/7 trying to get the reports and trying to see people. And, you know, there's just a frustration level that's mind boggling. FEMA gets, you know, is getting a black eye, and I've known, I, you know, listen, we've had people type in and, you know, on the comments page about, you know, FEMA didn't do this or whatever. It's a hurricane, you know. So there's only so many personnel that can deal with these disasters, and so that's why the show and I try to do the best with guests and my personal knowledge of being in the emergency service business of cleaning up after first responders like yourself leave, is, you know, having XYZ, you know, having a plan. The government is constantly pounding it out there, you know, ready.gov and or make a kit and you know, along those lines. And then when you guys show up, it's, you know, it's not as dire as it would have been with an automatic dial 911.
You know, I mean, we're obviously we're going to respond.
Yeah, I know,
you know,
right.
when people call. But you know, here we had two major storms happen, you know, almost back to back here between the hurricane and then this freak snowstorm. It does stress all parties about trying to put things back to go order after, you know, a lot of times these people are still recovering from the Hurricane Irene, and next thing you know, now they're going into this type of storm. So, right. you know, back to back, it makes it a little bit more difficult for everybody. But, you know, I know, you know, there were certain towns that they were out of power for a long time, but, you know, there was areas up in Connecticut, they were out for weeks.
Yeah, they had some heads rolled up there, huh? Some people got lost their jobs. I don't know, it's that public pressure, whatever. But just join us, Disaster Recovery Hour, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m., WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice. You want to get a comment out to the lieutenant or to myself regarding preparedness, regarding some of the do's and don'ts. We are moving into the holiday season. It is drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. And one more time, drhradio.net. LT, some of the other things we wanted to talk about today before we got a couple more minutes for our next break is, you know, we had the time change, which was a week after the snowstorm. And that's one of the things that you guys do, and I do on the program is, you know, with the clock changes, and you do your smokes and your carbon monoxide, but yet we still have those unfortunate deaths, especially with the carbon monoxide. I don't know if people realize that, you know, and I don't think they should flood 911 with it, but give me a scenario for somebody. There's the instant with the high levels, parts per million. I think that you register it that way. Is that how you guys register it also?
With carbon monoxide, the issue is time and exposure.
Time.
Okay, so how strong is you're being exposed to, and for how long? You know, it's almost like hypothermia. You can be you can experience hypothermia very quickly if it's, you know, 10 below. Whereas if you're in a bathtub and it's 80 degrees and you're sitting in there, you can also experience it because our body temperature is 98.6.
Right.
So if you lower your body temperature to around 91 or 92, you're going to get a hypothermia. It's just going to take you a little bit longer. That's the same thing with carbon monoxide. You know, it's tons of exposure. Of particular interest right now, Chris, is because of the storm, you want to make sure that your flues, everything that hasn't been affected by a falling branch or a tree that has knocked it off there. So you want to make sure your carbon monoxide detectors are working. We did tell you, you know, when you change your clock, change your batteries and your detectors. It's not just about having smoke detectors. It's also about having carbon monoxide detectors. Particularly now also as everybody's firing up their heating element. It's starting to get into the winter season. So, that's a major source for carbon monoxide is your furnace. So you want to make sure that it's properly vented. And again, it could have been dislodged during the storm. Mm-hmm. So if you did notice some trees in and around your chimney, you want to pay closer attention to that.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to, obviously, with good reason, the weather changes. We make the house a little more tighter, a little more of a seal. So with that, we're in the house more. There is opportunities for having more mistakes happen. You're cooking, you're multitasking. What did we talked about on the last show? You know, we're all guilty of it. This entire region, you know, 180 miles in any direction, that we're doing so many things at once because that's just the way life is now. But it takes something like an unfortunate accident to say, Jesus, I got to stop doing that. I got to change my method or my habits. Again, we've talked about habits and how habits lead into accidents if you don't change with the times. Not all bad habits, but I'm just saying some habits.
Some can be good, Chris. You know, you get in the habit of changing your batteries, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, here we are with the furnaces turning on and stuff like that. you know, do a check on that. Make sure, you know, through the summer months, you didn't start, storing flammable material close to your furnace, and now you're firing it up. You know, you want to make sure it's all checked out properly. It was installed properly. You know, it's properly serviced. You know, I know PSC&G has a program also that they'll come in and they'll check it out and make sure it's a good idea just to make sure it is properly running, you know, because then you're eliminating that. You know, us in the emergency services, we look at it as 99.9% of the emergencies that we go on are preventable. It's human error that's doing these things, you know, or lack of just paying, you know, attention to what's going on around you. You know, that includes, you know, housekeeping, you know, your tripping hazards. You know, certainly we have an aging population now also. You know, they tend to, you know, accumulate a lot of stuff through the years. And, you know, when you start storing stuff in and around your furnace and stuff like that, you know, that could be a cause for a fire. Not to mention, you know, a tripping hazard going up and down the stairs.
Yeah. I got a couple of questions. One's from Craig. It says, is it good to notify utilities of elderly or sick people in a residence, or does it matter? What's your thought?
Okay, well, we do that here in the city of Hackensack Fire Department. We take that information just in case there is an emergency at that home. We have it in our CAD system, our computer-aided dispatch system.
Is that countrywide, too? I
believe it is. I know we do it here in our city. We take information. We have a number, because we have a major hospital, you know, Hackensack University Medical Center, in our city. We have a significant amount of elderly patients or elderly people that live in our city. So when we get information from them, just on a common call, we see someone that has an oxygen bottle or someone who is handicapped or bedridden or a wheelchair. We put that in our CAD system, our computer-aided dispatch. So if there is a call at that address, we're going to know right as we're going out the door, we already have that information that we know, okay, I have a handicapped person in apartment AJ, you know, and we know that. So, yes, it is a good idea to notify everyone that there is that situation. Obviously, you want to be somewhat protective also, because you don't want to see your elderly family members get victimized of crime.
Exactly.
But notifying your police or your fire department is always an excellent idea. And I believe if you contact the utilities company, it's not a bad idea. Just to, I would say, in terms of making sure that their home is safe. You know, and make sure that furnace is running properly. So when you call up the utility company, listen, I have an elderly aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever it is, you know, family member, you know, let them know, yeah, I want to be on the service plan for my furnace to make sure that it is checked, you know, before we turn it on for the winter months.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? We're PSC&G up here in this part of the county. So that's a, I love that, really no frills, you know, service everything, you know, for, what's it, $9 a month? Give me a break. You know, we got some questions. We'll go to a break. Rock and roll with DLT here. We'll be right back.
Comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Sally Field for Wounded Warrior Project.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces who daily risk their lives for our freedom. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Some will suffer the effects of traumatic brain injury for the rest of their lives. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes. Regardless of your position on the war, they deserve our help. Please consider the many ways that you can get involved. The Wounded Warrior Project's motto is, "The greatest casualty is being forgotten." Let's continue to help make this generation the most well-received group of injured veterans in our nation's history. We owe it to them. To learn more, call 877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
There it is. Dave continually giving me that finger. That's we're on. We're back here with Lieutenant Steve Lindner from the Hackensack Fire Department. Got some more questions. They're starting to rock and roll with these. There's one from Susan. I think we touched on the elderly with the utilities. The next one, kind of similar, but for Marianne, could there be some database for seniors to be registered with the fire department?
Yeah, this is a good question. I mean, actually, I want to get back into the carbon monoxide before I get to that question. Carbon monoxide detectors, you should have them on every floor. Okay, carbon monoxide is lighter than air, so it's going to rise. Okay, what's going to happen is if it's not vented properly, it's going to rise to the highest point in your building or your home, and then it's going to slowly bank down. So most of the time, people's living quarters are up in the upper floors.
Right.
So you know there's your problem is here you have a furnace that's maybe malfunctioning. This carbon monoxide is traveling upward. You know where we're sleeping gets to that roof level, that ceiling level on that you know the bedroom floor area. And next thing you know, that's when you're going to sleep and you're not waking up. So our advice is to have working carbon monoxide and smoke detectors on each floor. Okay.
Right.
So far as the question about seniors and a database, again, we use in our city. Okay, we use in what we call our CAD system, our computer aided dispatch system, is we have all the information of handicap or elderly that has some sort of physical problem that's going to cause them to not be able to get out of their home or apartment in case of emergency.
Now, do you get that intel from them, or are you guys hitting the streets?
We do both. Okay, okay. We advise everyone when we do speak to our public education that goes on in our city, which is very active year long. We go out and let these people, these condo associations and anybody who lives in an apartment or anybody when we go on just on a call and we notice these kind of things. Are you registered with the fire department? You know, we see that, you know, your aunt or your mom or your grandma, your grandfather is in a wheelchair or they need oxygen. You know, these kind of things we need to know. We can put this in there so if there is an emergency at that address, we're going to know already going in there. Okay, well, we have a bedridden invalid here in this apartment or this home. And that's going to, you know, give us a better opportunity to, if there is an emergency, to get them safely out of there.
So, Susan, your question is the best place to put a carbon monoxide detector in the heating unit room area? You're saying, you know, it's got to be X amount of feet away. What is it? Is there a rule of thumb there? Like for mine, I have a decent sized utility room, so I do have one, but it's probably 15 feet away.
Yeah, again, you know, because of the science of it, you know, carbon monoxide is lighter than air, so it's going to be traveling upward. Okay, most people's furnaces, their heating is down in the basement. Where are they sleeping? They're sleeping up on the second floor, so that's traveling exactly up there. Right? So, do you want the most important places are at the higher points, but certainly outside the utility thing. Again, we recommend it's not that big of an expense. If you have three floors, you have a basement, a first, and a second floor in your home, you know, put a carbon monoxide detector on each floor, but particularly outside the bedrooms, because that's, again, you know, during the day, I know a number of years ago, we actually had an incident where somebody called, and it wasn't for a carbon monoxide emergency. It was for a medical call. And we started talking to the patient, you know, in our first responder program. What's the problem? Oh, I'm getting a little lightheaded. I'm dizzy. And one of our EMTs at the time noticed that there was some black accumulating underneath their nose. Classic example of carbon monoxide exposure. Next thing you know, we put in our gas meter, all our fire departments, we carry a 4-gas meter, one test for carbon monoxide, and we had considerable amount of carbon monoxide in this apartment building. We had to evacuate. We ended up sending 20 people to the hospital to get checked out for carbon monoxide poisoning. Were they close to having a serious problem? There's no question about it. You know, here it was about 9 o'clock at night.
Right at the time.
And, you know, these people in the next, you know, couple hours, you know, they're going to be laying down to bed, and they've already been exposed to this thing. So, again, time exposure for carbon monoxide. So
now, you know, I mean, your paid professional department, you know, with the numerous towns in our county, Passaic County, Rockland, Westchester, you know, volunteer. And that's why the volunteer departments have open night to go out there to meet your first responders, your volunteer guys, and to register the elderly. You know, I mean, you guys have the program and you're out and you're knocking on doors. That's why, you know, and, you know, you being instrumental for intel for the program is to get out this information is, you know, to help yourself. You know, you're this local citizen, the lady that lives next door, I had a little old Rita for years ago, you know, made sure her driveway was cleaned or we shoveled her lawn, That's a good one. Shovel her sidewalks, whatever. But to get that information out, you know, you just can't assume that all the departments know, including the police, which is a follow up from Gloria, is the police department in a loop of this database for the elderly.
You know, in the city of Hackensack, there is a great cooperation between the police and fire department in these type of situations. We were kind of bouncing back on if we have a call at a particular address, you know, we might be sharing information. Is it a good idea to contact the police department separately and the fire department separately? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the police department, I know they have a program also there for a safe building, you know, and they'll have a community resource officer will go out and check your building out and say, okay, yeah, here's some, you know, concerns that we have, and this is how you should address it. But yes, we do share information on there. You know, obviously the emergencies we're going to are a little bit different. You know, it's more on a criminal element that the police are going mm-hmm. on, and then it's more of a fire or emergency or a medical emergency call that the fire department's going on. So, but we do share some information, but I think that the answer to your caller's question is yes, we share, but if you have separate issues that might run into a more of a police matter or more of a fire matter, you know, obviously if you have an invalid, you're worrying about someone that, you know, may not be able to help themselves in case there is a robber or something like that, please contact both departments in whatever community you live in, because those cooperations might be different. Particularly within Bergen County, we have 4 career departments out of the 70 municipalities, so it's mostly a volunteer fire department service.
Right.
So if there is an information that you want to get out about an invalid or an elderly, it should go through the police department because they're there 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the volunteers, they're, you know, these guys do a great job, but they're doing another job for, you know, to bring home the money, you know, so, right, for their house. So it's a good idea to run by both departments, but particularly with a volunteer department.
Yeah, and again, the open house, it's just they're not, you know, it's for the kids to, for the kids, you know, the kids like to get on the trucks and but also for the parents, say, you know, your mother daughter homes, we got tons of those in our region, right? Whatever, you're in Brooklyn, you're in Queens, you're out in the island, you're in Bergen County, there's, you know, a lot of people have their elderly parents living with them or one that's passed away, and so you take in the one. Never mind the kids who go to college who can't find a job, but well, that's a whole other show. But you know, so it is about getting that information. So going to them and saying, "This is what I have. My mother's in a wheelchair." And I think Lynn Maloney from Long Island. We were talking about when there was a fire drill. The teacher told her son, because he had a broken leg at the particular time, "Wait here." You know, and he was there for an hour and a half waiting for someone to come in just from the drill. So these are the kinds of things. I know it's only a broken leg, but someone in a wheelchair, someone needs to be notified. You know, the old sticker with the child in the window sticker, right?
That's
the
correct
bedroom.
Yep.
I got a question from Dave. It's, does Lieutenant Steve see a big increase in emergency calls during the holiday season because of problems with decorations? And what advice does LT have for the people putting up holiday displays? And we have both sides because we have, you know, numerous religions.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I get this, you know, over 30 years in the fire service, I get this question a lot, is do you get more fires in the wintertime because of, you know, fireplaces and candles and stuff? You can't really say that you have a greater amount of fire in one particular season. What you can say is there's certain precautions that you should be utilizing in a particular season. Certainly as we have, you know, upcoming with the holiday coming up here, between candles being lit, Christmas trees, the Christmas lights, the decorations, a lot of cooking, again, enclosed household. So there are specific issues that you have to worry about in the winter season, in the holiday season. So far as, you know, your decorations and stuff like that, you know, let's face it, everybody, you know, they have the zip cord and they'll plug them all their Christmas lights on the tree into one of those things. Make sure that that is new, it, you know, has a ground fault interrupter on it. In case there is a problem, it's going to shut it down, okay? If you do have your decorations or candles lit, make sure that they're all off or out before you go to bed. Or if you're going to be out of the room for any length of time, you know, make sure that that stuff's unplugged. So if there is an issue, you're going to be able to attend to it. If you leave that stuff on and you go to bed, you have a problem, you know, it's going to be. So, yes, we recommend in particular when you're putting up anything that you don't normally have going, to show great care. Test all your
once-a-year stuff.
Absolutely. Test it all. Make sure that all those Christmas lights are working properly, that you don't have any, you know, cracked or frayed wires either on the extension cords or on the lights themselves.
Man, we're going to go to commercial break. Be right back with the lieutenant and pay a couple bills. All right, be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. You know what time it is. Between 1 and 2 every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160 a.m. With Lieutenant Steve Linder from the Hackensack Fire Department. I'm talking a little quicker now because we only have a few more minutes. When we're on break, we're going to have Steve, Lieutenant, come back in January. We want to talk about just a segment about the kids. So we'll shelve that till then. Move on to the next question. We did have the displays, which... You can amplify a little bit more on that because of the electric. Danny, a good friend of mine who's a lieutenant in Emerson Fire Department, we talk about he's an electrician. He also does generators. The whole region is overtaxed with electric. So you see it more often with these issues. We do have a question from Cindy. As we're winding down, does the fire department have inspectors that decide if a building is compliant with requirements necessary for fire prevention? Would this include residential?
Okay, to answer that question, yes, the fire department and our inspection bureau, they do buildings, particularly apartments, businesses, you know, offices, we all do that. So far as residential, no, we're not. You know, if it's a single-family dwelling, we're not going to go and inspect their home. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's where the homeowner needs to take it upon themselves
right.
to make sure that, you know, for okay. me, as forget about a firefighter, just as a homeowner and a parent, okay, I have, in addition to hardwired smoke detectors throughout my home with battery backup, I also have carbon monoxide detectors throughout my home. Just because as a homeowner and as a parent, I want to protect what's mine. So far as some of these these apartment buildings, yes, there is a requirement that's inspected. We have our inspectors go out there. There's a checklist that they go on. And if they're not in compliant with what is fire code for the state of New Jersey, they're going to get a notice that they have to repair it. Mm. And if they fail to repair it, they can be fined. And it could be a daily fine depending on how the severity of it is.
Also, Cindy, I bought about a year and a half ago. I moved from one house to another. You have your fire official. I live in a volunteer fire department town. And so you have a fire official who comes to give you that CO, so you're going to have you'll have your smokes, you'll look at that. So they do have requirements, and they can make suggestions. And I'm sure you can call your whatever town you live in, city, you can call, or if you live in a city, not a borough or a township or something, you could call, and I'm sure someone would come out. You know,
there's no question about it that the town that you live in is looking to help people out and
prevent that
stuff. So that, you know, but I mean, after you buy your home and you got your certificate of occupancy, you know, what happens after that? You know, it's really entirely up to the homeowner. You know, are they changing the batteries? You know, are they? You know, when I bought my home. It was required to have a smoke detector. I had a very inexpensive, battery-operated smoke detector. You know, was I going to be relying upon that? No. You know, being in the business, I was like, no, I want to hardwire the entire system, the entire home.
Mm-hmm.
I have a basement and two floors. I want to make sure that it was hardwired with the battery backup throughout the building in addition to the carbon monoxide. But I took that upon myself, you know, but post, once I got into my home, you know, that was really up to me to do that or not to do that, you know. So I know today's newspaper, they're talking about putting in sprinkler systems for all new homes being built. And as a firefighter, we see the benefit of sprinklers. It's just amazing how they keep a fire from you know, in a very small stage, you know, at about every minute a fire is doubling in size. But if you have a sprinkler system, it's not going to happen. Could that become a cost issue
right.
when they're building
no, that's
it?
The thing,
There's no question about it. So, I mean, it's very expensive to build homes to begin with. When you start installing a sprinkler system, although it's a great idea,
right.
you know, it could be cost prohibitive.
Yeah. Well, we've got, you know, these types of things, regulations, create industries and there's unsavory individuals who will take advantage of those situations. So that's the downside to that. I mean, that's how I look at it, how people can be taken advantage of. You know, I look at, I can't even say it on the air, I'll get in trouble for it, but people do take advantage of new laws that shoot through and how they can capitalize monetarily on it. I do want to mention, don't forget about the Partnering to Prevent Tragedy. It's in New York City. It's going to be at the Sheraton. It's on the website from Andy Weitzberg, who's the president of the Long Island ACP. He told me to mention that again. That's December 8th and the 9th at the New York Sheraton. It's they have a lot of information, and I know we're obviously not as big as New York City, but we're doing the same things just on a smaller scale because of just population-wise. But Cindy, I'm you know, I want you to go away with the about the residential thing. I would call I'd call your local town, your and see who can come out there and put you in the right direction if you need that information, or it's just a question if it was a residential requirement. But we talked about a lot of things during the program. But just recently, we go through this all the time, it seems, even with the information that you give out when you guys are doing the boots on the ground through your city or the open houses, tragedies still happen. And like you said, if I can reach, we can do one person, save one person. That's why you're in the business, right?
Yes, no question about it, Chris. And, you know, on behalf of the city of Hackensack and its fire department and Chief Freeman, I want to thank you for allowing me to come in here and, you know, share some information with your listeners, and hopefully some people are coming out of something this. And again, if we could prevent even one person getting hurt or killed, it's a great thing. So, yeah. You know, these are all common sense things. And to reaffirm this, most of the tragedies that I've seen are preventable. It's almost human error that's causing every one of the fires or any other kind of emergency that we go on.
Some of them are common sense, like you said, and I won't let you go yet. That are common sense, but there's also the, like, I can't believe what I'm looking at, and tell me the little story about the turkeys.
Well, you know, this is, obviously we got Thanksgiving coming up like that, and a common practice of cooking turkeys now is to put them in a deep fryer.
Right.
We happen to have a call where they had numerous deep fryers set up in their living room. Right. Which, you know, is not a good idea. Particularly, yeah. What happens with these things is, you know, they wash the turkey. There might be still a water moisture content in it. You're sticking, you know, water into boiling grease. You have a problem.
Right. Right.
That's why we talk to everybody if they have a grease fire in their frying pan.
You know, do
you put water on it? No, you don't, because you're gonna have a bigger problem. We tell everybody shut the heat off and put a lid on it. But those deep fryers, I've had it. Turkey tastes delicious, you know. But you want to show great care with using those things, okay? Follow all the recommended, you know, for that fryer. You want to make sure that it's in an open area. You know, certainly not inside, you know, is a real bad idea. So.
Yeah. LT, I appreciate you coming in. These, like I said, you know, all the questions, besides carbon monoxide, I'm not going to deal with the after effects if, unfortunately, somebody expires from having carbon monoxide poisoning. But, you know, for me, you want to meet me personally. You don't want to meet me professionally, because that evidently you or a volunteer department came in and had to put out a fire or some mishap that could have been preventable, like you said, 99%. Give me a water leak. I'm okay with that. You know, I'll still always be busy. There's always going to be an accident. You know that. I know that. But when it comes to the tragedies of, you know, the fires, there's nothing good that comes out of it, basically. So,
no, you know, to see someone, you know, lose a family member or their personal effects, you know, it's tragic, you know, and, you know, we don't like to see that, you know. I mean, we're here to, you know, save you in case there is an emergency. We train very hard at doing that, and we will do it if we have to. But we'd rather see something like that happen, because it is tragic. And in my 30-plus years in the fire service, I've seen far too many people get hurt or killed. And it's sad. And like I say, most of these things are preventable. So, you know, if people show great care and making sure that they, you know, when they're in the kitchen, you know, our three top reasons for fire is, you know, careless cooking, is a misuse of matches, candles, lighters, heating element, or electrical in nature. And all these things, again, are preventable. When you're cooking, stay in the kitchen. Don't go multitasking and doing everything like that. Stay in the kitchen, you know. Don't wear loose-fitting clothing while you're around the stove. Make sure you don't have flammables, dish towels or aerosol cans or anything close to, you know, the cooking service. Make sure you have a safe environment there. Okay, it includes housekeeping also. I mean, that's one of the checklists is when we go out on an inspection, a fire inspection. We call it housekeeping, but basically what it is, you know, is there clutter around a furnace, or can we easily access the fire alarm panel? That kind of stuff like that. And then, of course, with the candles and the lighters and cigarettes, you know, you want to show really great care with that. Any young children at home, you want to make sure you keep the matches and lighters away from them. I know candles are a real common thing. Anybody has pets, I don't know what it is, cats are fascinated by candles. They end up knocking them over.
Yeah.
If you're not in that room while that candle's on, you got a potential problem there. And obviously the third of our top three reasons for fires, and this isn't just in the city of Hackensack, this is the fire service, not nationally, you know, globally.
Globally.
Is You know, these are issues that happen everywhere. Electrical, make sure that whenever you're doing electrical work, you have a licensed electrician that's doing it, okay? And if you're using these electrical, you know, these extension cords and stuff like that, not a good idea, okay? Make sure your electric, you know, panel's up to thing. What we're using now in electric is a lot different than what it was 30, 40 years ago with the use of microwaves and hair dryers. You're taxing your electricity a lot differently. I know when I bought my home, I upgraded my electrical system. I put in a 200-amp system with a new panel and separated a lot of the appliances in there because, you know, we're using all these things now more than we ever did. So it's just showing great care on that. Yep. You know, and with the holiday season, obviously, you know, be careful with your decorations or any candles that you light up like that. This is all stuff that should be checked and having a plan on, you know, turn those electric, you know, the decorations off on the Christmas tree. Turn it off before you go to bed. You have candles lit, blow them out before you go to bed also. Stay in the room there.
And Santa can see. Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Lieutenant Steve Linden from the Hackensack Fire Department winding down. Steve's lieutenant's going to come back in January because we're going to focus just on prevention for kids. I think that would be a good show. You know, I think a lot of parents should get some good intel off that. And they can go to the podcast. So, LT, thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Chris.
And meet your daughter. I had a live guest studio audience. She was writing things and saying I was clearing my throat too much. Anyway, banged out another good show. I hope it was informative to you guys who were listening. I think we got a lot of traction off the comments page. I would love that when you guys get involved. One more thing. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. May your bird be moist, and let's end the war and get out of those other countries. We don't need that stuff anymore. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll see you guys next week.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are solely those of the host and not necessarily those of the station, its ownership, management, or staff.
The USO To Go program delivers hundreds of items like DVDs, video games, cold drinks, shaving cream, and shampoo to our troops stationed in remote locations. To find out how you can help, visit us at uso.org.